Justin Bourne joins us on the line right now.
Thanks for being patient.
Our Leafs analyst here, usually on
Monday. Hi, gentlemen.
Hey. Hi. Happy deadline day to you.
Oh, what a fun day. Isn't it the best?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, you tell us. You watch Sportsnet's coverage. You listen to us on the radio all day.
Must have been fun for you.
It was pretty good, right?
Could you Sportsnet, ever see... I, it's just doing an incredible job. Yeah, I just do. Can't say enough about you guys.
We
You're
really
fantastic.
Can you guess how many people stopped us at this building, all the insiders and the big wheels, and just said, wow, you know it's a big day when Good Show is here? Over under.
Oh, I'm sure. Endless. And I'm sure they also were like, what do you guys know? What are you hearing?
Yeah,
sure they're dying to hear the dirt you have.
Yeah, we did. And we gave it to them. We were like, yeah, it was probably some trades.
Yeah. All right.
So some action.
As a Leaf, should Leaf fans, how should they feel today? So McDonough's a rather big fish. They saw Rick Nash go to Boston the other day, but they just beat Boston and they just lost to the Sabres after that. So big deal. The McDonough one seems rather big when you're evaluating. I mean, the leaders, Tampa was already the heavy favorites to win the thing, but I think the odds probably just went up for them.
Yeah, they should feel terribly is how they should feel. Should feel very upset. I know that's, that's not what anyone wants to hear, but to be honest, I mean, that's a huge tick up for Tampa, a position they were lacking at a little bit. They were already probably the better team than Toronto. You know, I was higher on Toronto than a lot of other people, but it's a massive pickup for them. You can't call it anything else. And, you know, all they gave off their current lineup is Nemestikov, who's, you know, fine. Okay, sure. But it's not devastating for them to do without. So I think this makes Tampa Bay significantly better, and that hurts Toronto quite a bit.
I hate Tampa Bay just because they're able to screw around with the cap so much because of that income, so no state income tax. And I'm looking at
something.
This thinking, this is so... this is wrong. This is wrong. That you have so many
You're
guys.
Crying
and there's
foul?
So much out. Yes. Yeah. I'm just looking at this and saying, yeah, that you didn't have to get anybody really off your roster. Or that was no, like, sure. Yeah. Like, I think you summed it up perfectly. Speaking of Nemestikov, it's fine. Like, it's fine. If you trade him for JT Miller and for Ryan McDonough, I think that you're doing okay in this deal. And like, I know Brett Howden on the junior team, and that's a nice little prospect that you send a former first round pick. But that's okay. Exactly. It's not like you didn't get an elite prospect back in this, unless Libor Hajek or however you say his name is somebody. I don't know that guy. Like, I've never heard of Libor, but it is a name that doesn't ring of the future success. Libor.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Old Libor is fine. You know, I saw him in the American League. He's not particularly special. He's not moving the needle. He's not going to change
things.
Yeah, that's
what you said about Yanni Gourde.
I'm really trying not
to
swear. This is
no,
a really hard segment
praised
for me
him
not to swear.
Excessively.
Yeah, right. All right, so apparently the Leafs were in on McDonough, though, and came up short. It'll be interesting if in the coming days if we can ever find out what they offered the Rangers for him. How do you think that would have worked, though, as far as another left-hand shot? Was it, in your mind, would that be somebody who's a left-hand shot headed the other way? Like, how does that make sense for the Leafs?
Well, I mean, to me, you know, I'm not, the hockey GM genius or anything, but when you can get better players than you have on your team, you get better players. So I think, you know, however you would have had to make it work, you would have. And let me throw this out there. Would you have been okay with Ryan McDonough if Timothy Liljegren went the other way?
No.
Okay, well, I think that's kind of what we're talking about here.
Okay,
so.
Then no, this is my whole case the entire time. And honestly, I want to move off this because it didn't happen. But, yeah, to me, if you were going to give King's ransom for Ryan McDonough, who I think is not the player he used to be and I think is maybe slowed down a little bit and doesn't play the side that you want and that you already have a ton of depth at internally, I'll just take a pass. It stinks that he went to Tampa Bay and he made them better and that he didn't end up somewhere else. But if I'm the Leafs, I'm internally not broken up that they didn't make a move for McDonough. The one guy that I'm confused by is Mike Green, and I think we've all had disagreements on this in terms of I don't mind him as a fit for Toronto because I just think that if you're getting another guy who can make a good breakout pass and can replace Riley on your power play, I'm good with that. Let me see him. It's just a nice enough upgrade over Roman Polak that I don't mind. I'm very surprised that Detroit didn't move him, and to me that has to signal that he's going to be re-signing with them, right?
Well, even if he is, that seems ridiculous, does it not? I mean, this
yes.
is a team that is clearly in sell mode and they don't intend to win soon. So why are you signing a, you know, 30-some-year-old defenseman who, you know, peak is far behind him and all he does is get points? He doesn't play D. It would make no sense to re-sign him. If I'm Detroit, I guess there's a point as a GM where you just don't want to get fleeced. Like, let's say no one wanted Mike Green, and that maybe is part of the case. And someone says, we'll give you a fifth. And you go, well, he's better than a fifth. And people are trying to give you, you know, lower picks than that. If no one's willing to give you a certain reasonable offer, at some point you just go, well, you know what? I'm going to look like a joke if I sell Mike Green for a seventh compared to, you know, other comparables out there. So, you know, maybe that's the situation that Holland found himself in.
So how about this? Yeah, I mean, seventh rounder, that would be very low considering today. Five first rounders dealt? It's deadline day record. Never before have there been five first rounders dealt on deadline day.
I think there's a growing understanding that a first round pick sounds like you're definitely getting an NHLer and a very good one, but it's not really the case. Like, late first round picks aren't necessarily guaranteed to make it and aren't guaranteed to be good. And I think statistics are changing our perception of picks, and I think they're a little more movable now than they may have been years ago.
Okay, so we get you on for Leafs Hour. We got to talk Leafs. So let's just jam all this in. Let's start with, okay, I want to start with the chemistry thing, and then I want to talk to you about Thomas McClanish. Do we overrate chemistry? Because I'm looking at, my biggest takeaway from the weekend was watching Mitch Marner play with William Nylander and how effective the two guys were. And now I'm just like, okay, you know what? Just put good players with good players, and that's how you make chemistry. It's not this random thing where you're trying to, I remember back in the day playing the NHL video game when you'd be in franchise mode.
Yeah, and there was chemistry.
You try to put a grinder on the same line as a scorer and a playmaker, and it would all work out well for you. But to me, it just, like, I'm down on chemistry today. Should I be? Am I overreacting?
No, I think it's fair. To be honest, I've like lost track of what I think of chemistry, because it's a real thing. There's no doubt. One of my first articles that was successful is there's a real thing where you just connect with a guy, you communicate well, you understand how he plays, and it's a real thing for sure. But I'm with you that, like, at some point, okay, just put the good players out there. Like, let's not overthink this too much. So I don't know that there's a clean answer to this, but, you know, it's a thing, and it's also probably a little overrated. It's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I do think that we overrated a little touch. And I feel like I've been in that camp because part of the reason, and Ben mentioned this earlier in the show, that I don't want to see William Nylander moved up the middle is because I keep saying, well, the chemistry he and Austin Matthews has is so special. And then I watch Nylander play with Marner and say, okay, well, no. Like, put those two guys together.
Good.
They're just good. They're just good players. Just put other good guys with Matthews and be fine. If you can get another center, now you have to do it. Now you almost have to move William Nylander down the middle going forward if he continues to have success like this. And speaking up the middle, well, let's talk a little bit about Plekanec, because it's really hard. I feel like no one's had a negative spin on this. It's been all, wow, this is really good for the Leafs.
I mean, imagine trying to take another angle. I mean, it's good for the Leafs. He's a good hockey player. He can put up points. He can play offensively. I know everyone's praising his defense, but he's a skilled guy. And, you know, for the Leafs, it's everything that Mike Babcock wants. It's a guy who can win faceoffs, a guy who can make a pass. He's a smart player. You know, I've heard some people in the Leafs organization say, if you could have an entire team of smart players, you could play the fastest team, the strongest team. If you're smart, you're going to be good. And Plekanec, he's a smart player. He knows what he's doing. He's a great addition.
So William Nylander remaining at center for tonight's game on the road, does that mean, and removing Dom Moore from the lineup, does that indicate to you more that Mike Babcock likes what he's seen out of Nylander up the middle, or just hates Dom Moore?
I think it's probably the latter.
Yeah.
I don't think that Babs loves the concept of Willie as a centerman. I think it's always going to be a struggle. I don't think there's going to be a day he's just like, all right, he's a centerman. I think it's going to be a constant back and forth, unfortunately. But, you know, Willie's nice out of the middle. He distributes the puck really well. You can see the whole ice from the middle when he gets the puck there. I love it. But yeah, to me, this just speaks to Babs does not like Dom Moore as a center, and then moving on.
Poor Dom. I just pictured, as soon as this trade happened, his phone ringing, and it's just Babcock gleefully saying, like, you're out tomorrow. You know that, right? Like, you got to sit.
He's taunting him?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're out. You're done. You're done in this town, Dom. I never wanted you in the first place. Poor Dom Moore. Again.
Dom Moore, lovely guy. Has that ping pong tournament here every year.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Met him multiple times.
Yeah, but, you know he's not in Babs' plans. So.
You know what, though, too, is I was saying to Ben before the show, he's war. He's wins above replacement. Like, he's just the fourth-line center that is okay defensively, not special defensively. He's got some speed. He doesn't really finish. It's like, this is a huge upgrade getting Plekanec. And I guess that's the part that I'm excited for the most about this is when we were talking about Glenn Denning and the potential for him to come to Toronto. Ugh. It was always, I know, and that's exactly it. Ugh. But the biggest ugh to me was that Babcock was never going to play him like he played Dom Moore, giving him 11 minutes a night, that he was all of a sudden going to start piling on him and asking him to play these heavy workloads against really big units. And now I'm saying, okay, you know what?
Now you can do that and feel good about it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I want a Thomas Plekanec line with Leo Komarov and Kasperi Kapanen playing more 5-on-5 minutes than the JVR Bozak line. Like, that's how I feel about it. I'm okay with that.
That's a nice line, man. Yes. Like, if you're talking about that as your fourth line, and
totally.
You know, Maple Leafs fans going back years looking at their rosters and their team, you know, that line might have been a second line at some point, you know, or better in Toronto here not that long ago. So obviously things have changed in a great way for Leafs and Leafs fans. And I think they have lots of reasons to be excited about their forward group right now. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's an exciting line when Kapanen's on it, that fourth line. He wasn't on it today. I guess, I don't know. I don't know if we're calling the Nylander line the first line or the second line. Whatever. He was on that Nylander line with Zach Hyman today was Kasperi Kapanen, who's shown this incredible, incredible speed. Finishing hasn't been great. Finishing hasn't been great by his line mate either. But
he can
keep
shoot,
passing
though.
Leo Komarov. Yeah. And the passes appear to be pretty accurate. But yes, the finishing from Leo Komarov hasn't been great.
Again, not Kapanen's fault. No. I wish he would shoot it sometimes. There's been a couple occasions. But right there, you're passing it to an NHLer with a wide open net. That's the right play.
Is it?
Yes.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Cappy could rip it. He can really rip it. And I think there's a sense with Kapanen that he thinks of himself a little bit like Willie Nylander might. Like, he's been special his entire life. He's been a special player, you know, very offensive-minded type of guy. And the Leafs have tried to make him into not that, just because they have so many offensive guys who can do, you know, one thing. And, you know, he's had to change his game a great deal. And I think it's hard for him to turn off the fact that he's supposed to be a skill guy. It would be better for him sometimes if he just let her buck. But he likes to make fancier plays than he probably should.
Yeah, I thought that those were fine plays. I think that if you're getting, again, a guy with a wide open cage off the rush, instead of trying to pick it against an elite goaltender, yeah, just make that play and trust your team.
If you can't pass it to your NHL line mate who's got an open net, I mean, the other guy's the issue.
Yeah. I think we hit on it. The other guy might be the issue. Yeah, and he was when he played with Nazem Kadri, and now he's in his proper role. Unfortunately for him, I guess it's a good news, bad news situation. Kasperi Kapanen's maybe too good to be playing on that fourth line, but yeah, that fourth line could be real, real interesting when Austin Matthews returns. Justin, thank you for doing this. Happy deadline day again to you.
Thank you for being so
patient. Thanks for having me, guys.
Cheers, bye. Buddy.